Father, your Spirit was given to us in baptism and has made us to be your adopted sons and daughters. And so we can approach you with great confidence on behalf of the many needs that we have individually and as a family and as a parish family here this afternoon. We ask in a special way that through the intercession of our patroness and the mother of your son and the mother of us all, that you would drench this new year with grace and in a special way bring healing more deeply into our families and our marriages and our lives. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like a lot of you, I have different customs and habits and traditions as I close one year and head into the next. I've gotten into the habit the last 10 years or so just to spend whatever it is, New Year's Eve morning in prayer, just looking back over the past year and calling to mind a number of things that I just want to thank the Lord for, his graces and his blessings and his mercies. And as I do that, a lot of images and memories come to mind. A lot of them this past year, for pretty obvious reasons, have to do with my family. And so as I was praying yesterday, a series of scenes came very powerfully into my memory again. One was standing at the end of that hallway on February 13th, Saturday, right after the conclusion of the 4 o'clock Mass. There was a couple in from another parish that I had the great honor of witnessing their wedding. They were in town for a blessing if they could, so we snuck down there. I was about to give them a blessing, and my phone began to ring. And it was my youngest sister telling me that my dad had just had a heart attack. They were taken to the hospital. That was a powerful memory. I was followed immediately by getting into my car right after I gave that blessing and the phone going off again and my sister telling me that my dad had just died. That was a powerful memory. And there was the memory of just standing at my father's body at U of M, praying with him and crying with him and my sister and brother-in-law and a couple of my nephews. There was the memory of the day after the funeral, my brother holding my father's cremains in his hand and just with the love and affection of an oldest son placing my father's ashes into the ground and just crying as he was standing at his grave. And there was the memory of my brother's cell phone going off at 3:35 on April 28th, which is never a good sign when it's 3:30 in the morning and your phone's ringing. And it wasn't my brother. It was a priest who had been called over to my brother's house calling to tell me that my brother had passed away. Then there was the memory of my nephew calling me the day after my father's funeral. My nephew isn't Catholic, or wasn't. He sent me a text the day after my dad's funeral. And the text simply said, "I've been up all night talking to my wife. I think I want to come into communion with the Catholic Church." And I looked up as if that's where my father was and simply said, "Wow, that was quick." None of those memories were really surprising for me as I was looking back at the year, but there was one memory that was really surprising for me, how vivid it was as I was praying yesterday, and it was a memory of me standing back on the other side of the sanctuary with Father Prentice and Father John. Late July, early August, it was a Wednesday night. Those of you who are in the parish might remember that about that time we kind of threw out a challenge to our parish family that in anticipation of not just the election, but really asking God's mercy and Spirit to be poured out upon our nation, that we consider coming together as a parish family and setting aside Wednesdays as a day to fast for our country and for the election, but mostly for the country, for a return to the Lord and a return to what it is that our founding fathers had enshrined in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, for a return to godliness and virtue. And so we'd thrown out the challenge to fast and then invited people to gather here at that time at 6 for the rosary, and then as many as could stay to celebrate Mass at 6:30 and to break the fast with the Eucharist. And so we'd thrown out the challenge, and I don't think any of us really had any sense of how many people would come, but as we walked down the hallway and looked into the church, if you were here that night, there were probably 800 to 900 people. That was a powerful memory. And then the sound of all the kneelers almost as one hitting the ground, and 900 people hitting their knees and praying in unison the rosary, asking Our Lady's intercession for our country. That was a really powerful memory. And all throughout the past year, Wednesday nights, crowds have been coming to pray. It tapered off a little bit after the election, but there's still been probably some 300 or 400 folks who've been coming on every Wednesday night to continue to pray, continue to fast. Last week, Wednesday was the Wednesday in the octave of Christmas, so you can't fast because you can't fast during Christmas and Easter. But a number of people have asked me, what next? So I'd like to tell you, you can go back to eating on Wednesdays. But I don't think we should. So as I've been praying with the feast that we celebrate, not only today, the feast of Mary, the Mother of God, it's also the World Day of Peace. And then, of course, Friday was the feast of the Holy Family, which is usually today, this Sunday after Christmas. But since Christmas was a Sunday, the feast of the Holy Family gets moved to the Sundays between Christmas and New Year's. And in light of all of those, and in light of the fact that most of my day, every day, all day long and night, is spent trying to help couples and families put out fires, I think the Lord's inviting us to do something else. The readings today, most obviously, all have to do with marriage and family. We hear about Our Lady and Joseph and the child Jesus in the gospel. The second reading reminds us that you and I have been adopted as fathers or sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father by the power of the Spirit given to us in baptism. Those things are pretty obvious. What's maybe not so obvious is the first reading has to do with priesthood. Aaron, who is Moses' brother, is instructed by the Lord how to offer the priestly blessing for the people of Israel. And so given those readings and given the feasts that we celebrate today, I'd like to ask us to consider, either beginning or for those of you who've been doing it for the past year, to fast again and to pray the rosary again and to come to Mass again, but this time for marriages, for families, and for priests. Concretely, here's what it looks like. It looks like, for those of you who don't have health disabilities that require you to eat, don't eat. You can do it, really. I used to live with a man who all of Lent only drank liquids for 40 days. That's all he did. I've done long fasts in my life. I know a number of people who've done long fasts. You can really skip 2 meals in a day. You won't wither away. Just drink lots of water. So what it means concretely is just drink liquids until dinner. Offer it up as a sacrifice for marriages, for families, for priests. Most especially, I would ask you for me, Father Prentice, Father John, Father Pierre. We'll even throw Deacon Vince in from Florida in with that, and Deacon Dave. Although you're already covered in the marriage and family bit. And then as many of us as possible to gather here on Wednesday nights at 5:30 to pray the rosary. Understand a lot of us can't because of jobs. If you can't, I would beg you to ask Our Lady to intercede by praying the rosary on that day in solidarity with everybody else for marriages, for families, for priests, especially in our parish. And then again, for those of us who are able, and some of us can't because of work, I understand, to break the fast quite literally with the Eucharist Wednesday night at 6, and then to go on to supper afterwards. For what purpose should we do this? Well, lots of things come to mind, but let me just mention a couple. Let's do it for healing. and reconciliation between husbands and wives whose relationships are strained right now, who most need to overcome bitterness and resentment. Let's do it for reconciliation between parents and children of all ages, not just those who live at home anymore. Let's do it so that husbands and wives will have as their goal every day to outdo each other in showing honor and affection. Let's do it so that we will make it a point to welcome God more intentionally into his rightful place in our homes. Let's do it for couples who are in the process of or who have gone through already the trauma that is divorce. Let's do it for couples who are coping with serious life-threatening illnesses and who are taking care of each other and who are soon to say farewell to each other. Let's do it for men and women who are grieving greatly the loss of their husband or their wife. Let's do it for children who have wandered away from the faith, who do not yet know Jesus. Let's do it for priests, so that we might actually grow in holiness and conversion and take on ever more the Sacred Heart of Jesus and become shepherds after his own heart. There is extraordinary power when we do things together, because we are not separated entities that happen to go to church together. We are all one member in the body of Christ. When you're strong, Tim, it helps me be strong. When I'm strong, it helps you be strong. When you're weak, it weakens me. And when I'm weak, it weakens you. That's how it works in the body of Christ. That's why it's so important to fight for each other, to pray for each other, to fast for each other. I heard a story years ago from a priest friend of mine who used to be the spiritual director of a woman who was a cloistered Carmelite. She's passed away now, long ago. She had entered the Carmel as a young girl. She was a virgin, had never dated a man. And late in her life, she awoke one night with the most bizarre experience she had ever had up to that point in her life. She described to my friend, who was her spiritual director, that it was as if there was a man in her room in the Carmelite monastery who was trying to seduce her. And so after shaking her head and trying to clear away the image, she just continued to fight with this for some time. But it was vivid as all get out, she said. She was up for hours praying, wondering what in the world is going on. She finally falls asleep, wakes up the next morning, crawls down to the chapel, kneels in front of the Blessed Sacrament and says, "Lord, what was that?" And as soon as she asked that question, she heard the Lord say this: "Last night, there was a woman in town who was tempted to commit adultery. And I gave her temptation to you. And she's still chaste today, thanks to you." That is no story. That's how it works in the body of Christ. When you fight for me, I'm strong. When I fight for you, you're strong. When we fight for each other, get on our knees for each other, pray for each other, we become strong. We cannot live this life greatly on our own. We not only need God's grace, we need the help of each other. So let's, as a family, as a parish, do everything we can to fast on Wednesdays, to ask the intercession of our mother in the rosary, and to rally around the Eucharist, joining our prayer to the prayer of the Son to the Father on our behalf, so that this year which has begun today will be one truly drenched in grace.